And now it's time for more of Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's Talk Hookup. This portion of the show is sponsored in part by Ford, the official truck of Let's Talk Hookup. Shimano Rods and Reels. Fish with the best. Shimano. And by Yamaha Outboards, official motor sponsor of Let's Talk Hookup. Here we go. Another great hour of Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's Talk Hookup. Here's Pete Gray, Rock God Rick Mexa, and Corey Sandin.
Welcome back. Hour number two, Let's Talk Hookup, right here on the Let's Talk Hookup app, YouTube, Facebook Live, and 97.3 The Fan. Pete Gray here, along with champion Rock God Rick Mexa here in the studio with Captain Mike Pritchard from the Tribute, who's another champion here out there catching just all kinds of fish here and having fun and giving away a phenomenal prize thanks to Mike on the Tribute.
Yeah, boy, no, you're not kidding. What a cool day that is. Just so much fun talking about such a great boat and all this great fishing throughout the year. If you didn't catch the beginning of the show, Mike, so generous. One lucky caller or texter to Let's Talk Hookup is going to go fishing on a day-and-a-half trip on board the Tribute. How cool is that?
Well, we do have some technical issues with our phones.
Right.
So hoping this hour we get it corrected. Jeff and Adam and the guys at the Fan are working on it, but you'll probably get a busy signal if you call the number. But keep trying. We're hoping that it'll kick back in here. We don't know what the problem is, but that's why we have engineers at the Fan.
Exactly.
Figure that kind of stuff out. But
Exactly. Yeah, you can continue to text the show. Again, as we always say, it's only on the Let's Talk Hookup app. If you don't have it already, this is yet another reason why you should download the Let's Talk Hookup app. It's totally free. You don't get any BS, nothing like that.
Right.
It's just a great way to keep in touch with Let's Talk Hookup. You can listen to all the archive shows, and it's how you text in your questions to Captain Mike. Again, make sure you include your name and your phone number in case you win that big trip. But lots of great texts coming through, and we're going to continue to read them. And you got another full hour to send in yours today on Let's Talk Hookup.
And you win a day and can have a chance to win a day and a half trip. Go fishing with Mike on the Tribute.
So cool.
Yeah, that's cool. So one thing I want to say about the app has got so much stuff on it that we don't normally talk about. So you can text the show.
Right.
You can listen to the show live. You can also watch it on Facebook and YouTube on the app. So we have links to our social media there. You just click on that, and then you can go to our social media, Facebook and YouTube Live, and watch it on the app.
Yep.
So it's all there.
Also direct links to the Let's Talk Hookup webpage, so you can,
look at trips.
Yeah, and upcoming guests, all the info that gets put up there. Like, it's just cool. And like I said, that's it. And that's all there is.
Yeah.
Occasionally you'll get... occasionally you'll get an email blast.
Other week.
Yeah, for things that are about Let's Talk Hookup and things that are going on. I know it's always been a big deal. Pete doesn't sell the list to anybody.
Nope.
Like, there is no shenanigans. It's just cool stuff for the show.
Yeah, and if you want to subscribe to our email blast, like last week we talked about, we had pictures of Mike and we had descriptions of the shows to this weekend and next weekend. And also an article I wrote about Lake Picachos,
which
Captain Benny Florentino was in there, and Ron Lane, Chris Minnick, Steve Pinard, Patrick G, pictures of all them, and beautiful spot there down at Lake Picacho. So if you missed that, be sure to subscribe to our newsletter. When you go on to letstalkhookup.com, it'll pop up and say, subscribe to our newsletter. Again, we don't sell a list. The only thing you're going to get from us is that every other week email blast, and it's kind of fun to read.
Yeah, totally.
So check it out. Bill Barney does it. He does a great job and puts a lot of work into that. So I think you'll enjoy it if you subscribe to that. I saw a great text here from Carlos in Lancaster, and I want to read that. And it says, good morning, guys. Carlos from Lancaster. Is September too early to target yellowfin? Seems like they're later season fish. And how long a trip to put you in the best scenario to have a chance to catch one?
What was it last year? We had yellowfin in February. No. I think it was March. And, I remember calling in. We had good bluefin fishing. We had a handful. I think we had seven yellowfin or something between February and March last year. And I was like, oh man, here we go. It's going to be a phenomenal yellowfin year. And it wasn't. It was for a short period of time. It was that we were talking about it earlier. That really nice grade yellowfin that bit down there about 130, 140 miles.
Now, did the Tribute get on that?
We did. We had a couple of trips down there. It was just a little bit on the far side for our day and a half trips. We did make it on a couple of them. We did have some really good fishing. September.
That was phenomenal, wasn't it?
It was. We've seen that fish up here, like at San Clemente Island a couple different times where And even at night. And some of the yellowfin that were caught this year, I know Aliar had a few good nights where, you know, you're fishing bluefin and all of a sudden you get, you know, 20 plus yellowfin out of these stops. So and they're good ones. They're, you know, 50 to 100 pound fish. So they're around. September is, I mean, notoriously one of the best months for everything, whether it's yellowtail, yellowfin, Dorado, bluefin. Back when we used to have albacore, it wasn't uncommon to catch albacore in September. August, September, like we were talking about earlier, you start seeing a lot of the stuff stretch into later October, November, December. It was like 5 or 6 years ago. We had just some of the best yellowfin fishing I've ever seen in December. It was 30, 40 miles from home and nobody was fishing. And there were good ones, like 40 pounders. So, September, yes. And from then on,
it's traditionally one of the best months.
It is. If you want a chance of literally everything, that's probably August, September, and October are going to be your months where you have a shot at anything from, you know, yellowtail to big eye and everything in between.
I love it. Hey, I had a great text. It says, morning, guys. What a great show. My question for Mike, on your recent Colinette Lingcod trips, which sound like a blast, by the way, how have you and the boat felt the conditions are looking for bluefin as you come up and down the line?
You know what? We've been just inside of where that fish has been. The boat has seen some. We've seen some traveling throughout the night. We did try on the way down last trip that where the fish are, at least as of where they were a week ago. It's a bit outside. It's probably about 40 miles outside of the track line going down there. But there has been fish down there. And like I said, I think it's just a lack of coverage. If we had 5 or 6 boats fishing every week, I think you'd see some bluefin in the counts just because it's so hard to do with one boat. I mean, so hard. We get the awesome information from the airplane when they're flying, and that's just huge, whether it's the SAC plane or any other information we can get. You know, you're talking about an airplane that's covering hundreds of miles and they're seeing, you know, great volumes of fish, and you know, you get on an 80-foot sport fishing boat doing 10 knots and you're driving around and you could be 2 miles away from them and never even know it. It's just so hard to do by yourself. So
when they have the airplane, it really helps, right?
Oh man, what a bonus. that's pretty big. And like I said, you know, you start to see some of the long range boats that are getting their spring schedule going. And, you know, like I said, the Supreme had to cancel their trip this weekend. I'm sure I have, you know, tons of faith in Aliar. I figured that would have been it. And I was like, waiting for him to leave the dock so we could find out where we're going to be catching our bluefin. And, it looks like it's just going to be pushed off here a little bit.
Yeah, that's cool. Well, I have a good text here, too, from Mike and Rosemead, and, you know, something everybody's talking about. I know there's many variables, generally speaking, talking about anchovies, but does the reel, not a spinning reel, cast better with mono or braid? What's your opinion on that?
I hate spinning reels with braid. I mean, I use them.
Well, he's not talking, he says not a spinning reel.
Okay.
He's talking about a conventional reel.
You know what, if you're fishing 25 or whatever pound spectra, like, if as long as you can cast it properly, it casts way better. I mean, it's just lighter. Yeah. You don't have that memory coming off the spool. It does. It's much harder to learn how to cast.
Yeah.
I thought you were talking about spinning reel at first, but I mean, all my trout gear has spectra on it, and it's just, for when that stuff, when you tangle up 10-pound spectra, it's a nightmare. But
yeah.
If you can, I mean, it's a much lighter cast. It probably doesn't hurt to have a lighter tip, a rod tip. You know, back when most of us were fishing anchovy, it was literally like a 196.8 and a small reel, and you had a lighter rod tip where you could actually kind of get some action when you're casting that anchovy. And a lot of the graphite and the different glass component rods have changed that. But, like, you would be the perfect guy to talk to. A lot of this lighter bass tackle, once you start looking into casting a 5 or 6 inch anchovy, it's going to be neat to see how far a lot of this tackle's come along.
We talked a lot about that yesterday with Darren and the importance of having the right rod, right?
Yeah, totally. The right rod exactly. Some of the things that make killing landing the fish so much better, you know, the fast recoiling, you know, rods that do a lot of the lifting for you, and we get so focused on this big fish and how the rods have changed and, you know, rail rod technology doing so much of the work. That is all, you know, the trend things have been going, but it's because we have these nice big sardines that you can cast a mile and nothing seems to happen. you know, softer, slower, spongier rods really help the rod load when you're casting something as light as an anchovy, and being softer and slower, not so fast recoiling, keeps the hook in them. So you're not, you know, when you're collar hooking an anchovy, it's a much softer, slower cast, because you're as concerned with keeping the hook in the bait as you are getting it away from the boat. And rod technology makes a big difference. You know, you don't want to fling your bait off on every cast. You know, that might be great for when you're attached to the fish, but you got to get the bait out there first.
Yeah.
The other thing that I can't wait to see, if indeed anchovy does become a thing, is what reel is going to rise to the top. You know, we have really good options now that we never had. Low profile bass reels are now capable of catching fish that, you know, a Tranks 400 and a 50-pound tuna is still right in the driver's seat.
Spinning
reels are not like they were 20 years ago. You know,
not
you could have a Twin Power 6000 and catch a 40-pound tuna, no problem, cast an anchovy a mile. Trinidad 14 is really, it's just like, we've got a lot of options, and if and when Chovy eventually does happen, it'll be really interesting to see, like, what rises to the top is everybody's favorite.
And keeping that small hook in the fish too. Well, it's going to be a whole learning curve. Like when graphite rods and Spectra really started coming into play, I remember fishing sea bass up in Ventura, and the amount of fish we started losing, because it's just different. You don't have that soft rod tip. You don't have the stretch of the mono, and guys are pulling hooks out, and that's a thing. Like, you start realizing that the hook you're using is four times smaller than what you're used to using with the sardine. So you're not leaning on that fish the same way. You're fishing a little bit lighter drag, and it's going to be interesting.
Yeah, totally.
I'm thinking, you may laugh, but I'm thinking my CalStar 800 XL with a Trinidad 14 on it.
Dude, absolutely.
For fish under 50 pounds.
Yeah.
I mean, I've caught so many big fish on that rod, and it's a sea bass rod, right?
Yep. Yeah.
But you can cast a light bait a long way on
it. But it's a graphite and fiberglass composite, you know, and that graphite provides the lift, and you do what you want. You will never break an 800 XL. You know what I mean? Like, you can smash it in the car door just fine, but I mean, in terms of pulling on a fish all day long. Yeah. I love that rod.
It could be good.
I love that.
But what happens? So what happens when the fish get over 50 pounds, right? Then what do?
You don't use an anchovy.
Yeah,
throw in a jig.
You wait till the sun goes down and get them on a flat ball.
The artificials have come so far in the last decade or the last 15 years, whatever. So I think that's going to be a big one. But the sneaker rig and an anchovy's, I mean, let's hope the anchovy's over 4 or 5 inches long. Yeah. But I mean, that's going to be, we did it for a long time. You know, if you had a chance of landing a 40 or 50 pound bluefin back before they were a thing, you had your 25 pound, you had a rubber core or whatever else, and you're trying to get that anchovy down there, and it's gonna be a thing again.
I would have never thought that a fish would bite it, but the Roy Rose chandelier rig on a sinker at Clarion Island, watching, you know, six sardines dangling around on a big hook on a sinker rig, you think, well, nothing's ever gonna eat that ever. And then you watch a guy catch a 200-pound yellowfin right next to you, like, who knows, man? You get a big string of anchovies on a brawler rig, it might be the next thing.
I was working on the Pacific Eagle years ago, and there were some thresher sharks around, and Mike Mings, he's the owner of it now, was trying to get one of these threshers. So he took this wire leader, this great big old 7691, and put like six anchovies on it, cast it out, and gets like a 20-pound salmon. We're sitting there trying to catch salmon with the bait ball
rig. Everybody knows that. Come on, where are you at?
Egg sinker, you got your 20-pound, and we're trying to finesse these things, and the salmon comes up and eats a handful of anchovies stuck to this giant hook.
That's crazy.
You have a good one, huh?
I thought so, yeah. It just, again, compliments what a great ride that tribute is, and it's from Darren and Menifee. He says, happy spring, Pete, Rick, and Captain Mike. Had a great day and a half trip last year on the tribute, and like many boats now, the food was terrific. My question for Mike is, who's going to be the chef this year, and do you know any of their special or favorite menu items? Sitting with buds for dinner, talking about fishing on the tribute is truly my favorite part of the experience.
We have Kyle. Kyle's cooked with me off and on for years. A lot of long-range experience. He's cooked on the Intrepid, the Excel. And it's so hard to let somebody have the menu on a day and a half trip, because, you know, guys still love breakfast burritos. They still love burgers. He's doing chilaquiles, I think last week was, I can't remember what it, like some kind of a roast beef dip sandwich, and then dinner is either tri-tip, it's pork. But I let them kind of do it, and it's really hard to get away from the standards. And most of our dinners are usually, whether it's tri-tip, New York, pork loin, and it's not just a normal overnight cook. It's
a long-range stuff.
Yeah.
Well, and you grew up with the long-range fleet, and you're kind of spoiled with that fleet.
Yes,
so you want
yes,
to serve
definitely.
Your customers the same way.
Yeah, the cooks we've had are always, you know, going to be a little bit on the top-notch side. Yeah. We have guys come off the boat, and they're like, I did not expect that kind of food on a day-and-a-half trip, and that's what we want.
That's cool.
You know, you're sitting in the trough, and it's choppy, and your cook's down there yelling and screaming because his Bernays he's having a hard time making his Bernays sauce. But, you know, who doesn't like Eggs Benedict?
yeah, one of my faves.
Yes.
For sure. Hey, Mark in Fallbrook has an interesting question. He says, good morning, fellas. Please talk about the proper way and timing of putting your live bait in the water while sliding up on a school of tuna. Good question, because some people just go too early.
Well, and that's going to be the thing if we get back to this anchovy thing. You remember how many guys would sit there with a dead anchovy hanging off their rod waiting to fish the slide? It's so hard. And, you know, the nice thing about my boat is you can see the bow. And I get on the PA, I'm like, hey, you guys don't want to cast yet. And they're up there, and you're still sliding up on some of these spots doing 10 knots. And they're 100 yards away, and I'm like going right through the props. I'm like, you're so eager, and but you're not going to be the one getting bit. You're going to be the one stuck in the props, the rudder, just way back behind the boat. But me and probably every other operator out there will tell you when to get in the water. And that's the thing. We have a really big bait tank. We've got a bunch of hand wells. If you're fishing a live bait, there's plenty of room for everybody to get in there and be ready to grab one. Crew members are always going to have the bait tank loaded up and, you know, have a bunch of bait available for you. And then you're going to have a handful of guys fishing the jig. But the same thing with guys fishing the jig is half the guys cast too soon. It's so hard. Or when you have touchy bluefin, the one I love is you're coming up on it and you're getting ready to start getting some chum in the water. And the one guy lobs his jig, you know, 150 yards into the middle of it. You see them all spook and take off. And I'm like, well, there goes that.
Yeah.
it doesn't happen often, but sometimes when they're like, one of the best things you can do is start getting them on that chum before anything else. And then you have a lot of these bluefin that are on the small bait that could care less, absolutely care less what's in front of them that you're dropping. They're eating that little bait, and especially the last several years, you slide up on these spots and you're looking at it and you're like, you could almost gaff them, but they won't bite anything. So I would say listen to the guy running the boat. That's going to be your best bet.
And you'll tell him when to go in.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah. We've done this thousands of times, and we watch what works best. So usually if you're casting early, it's probably not going to work out too good.
All right. Hey, another great text from Ryan in Irvine. Good morning, gentlemen. I was wondering what Captain Mike's highlight catch was of last season. And also, everybody always talks about we're always constantly learning. Wondering if Mike had any little tidbit that he learned from last season that sticks out in his mind.
We were talking about it earlier, that yellowfin fishing for the time period that it bit. And then, I mean, that was just really fun fishing, really nice grade yellowfin. But I'd say that our spring fishing, where we were catching limits of bluefin in the middle of the night and then going out and catching reds on the 60, was probably the highlight of last year. And a lot of it was in really nice weather. I mean, it's just, you know, it'd be nice to fall back on yellowtail or something when that wasn't around, that really nice grade reds and just the bankies, the Floridas, the other delicious eating rockfish on the 60-mile bank was pretty hard to beat. I mean, it was perfect the way it worked out.
Bluefin and rockfish.
There you go.
That place is so cool to fish rockfish.
Just the amount of the chilies and everything else that came with it as we were able to fish deeper.
You can figure out how to not be too covered up by salmon groupers. There are some of the coolest rockfish fishing that exists out there.
You know, it depends where you're fishing. If you're fishing shallow and, you know, I saw it with some of the other guys running boats down there that they're just, you know, turning in 50% salmon grouper. And once you start getting deeper, and I mean, you know, it depends on where you want to stop at, but that 70, 80 fathoms, 90 fathoms, like a lot of that was really clean fishing. Bankies, Floridas, chilies, you know, stuff that you really want to take home.
Yeah.
And I don't even know how many salmon grouper last year. They're fine. They're clean. They make great fish tacos.
Sure.
You know, you get a lot of people, oh man, I'll never eat one of those things. And then you put it in a fish taco next to a red. And they're like, well,
can't tell the difference.
This salmon grouper is kind of chewy. And I'm like, that's the red.
Yeah. Hey, Amy in the 805 zone says, what's your favorite nighttime jig for bluefin fishing?
Oh, man, I think we just covered that one. It whatever's working.
Yeah.
I mean, that it's so vague, and you'll get somebody that'll drop something, and you're like, and it's, don't use that. You don't want to use that. That's the most ridiculous-looking thing ever. And then, you know, there's three or four guys trying to find one in their box later on.
What about number of hooks on those jigs?
I don't know if that's ever going to get answered correctly.
Yeah.
It's hard. If you're fishing with a bunch of guys, anything more than two hooks turns into tangles. There's no way around it. It's just the way it is. But, you know, some of these guys put three, four, five hooks on them, six. You have a fish doing circles around another line, and you have all these hooks hanging off there. And you want that fish to stick. But I think it might have been Jeff Markland or somebody last year had just a ridiculous amount of hooks. It was like 16 hooks on it or something, and it worked. I mean, at that point, I think the fish is trying to eat the hooks. They don't even see the jig.
Yeah. Look at that. Something shiny to eat.
The knife jigs with a hook on each end is borderline terrifying when fish are coming over the rail. But
especially for the guy pulling the hook out, right?
They are. I mean, well, and a lot of times you don't know. You're in a hurry. You got five or six fish going in the corner. You're trying to get this fish out of the water that, you know, you got a 100-pound bluefin that's not ready to come up yet. You gaff that thing. You're trying to get it on the boat. And next thing you know, the rear hook's stuck in the rail, or, you know, hopefully not stuck in somebody. We've been very, very fortunate not having any major issues. But, you know, you don't a lot of times expect that other hook.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Scary.
So hooks on one end or the other.
We prefer, yes.
Yeah. Not on both ends.
Especially if they're biting well. There's no reason to jeopardize it.
Yeah. Because they're going to eat it.
Yes.
Yeah.
And, you know, you see a lot of them where the fish has got one hook in the side of its face, one hook in the jaw, and a lot of times that doesn't work out as good.
Yeah,
bringing them in sideways is never the easy road.
It's a tough one.
Hey, well, speaking of biting fish, it's time for our FishDope.com report by the Angler's Realtor, Yusuf Husseini. And today, that catch report is sponsored by the Fish Pros at Fisherman's Processing in San Diego, where you get the premier processing experience. Check out the easier online system to book your processing for your long-range trips. With more team members, Fisherman's Processing stays far ahead of the rest. More same-day capacity and the finest customer service. Spot by their location in Old Town on Taylor Street, or check fishermansprocessing.com and be sure you make that reservation today. We got Yusuf on the line. Good morning, buddy.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning.
How are you doing?
We're doing great. Anxious to hear how this was. I know there's a little bit of ups and downs, some weather, but you always seem to find the biting fish with Fish Dope.
Oh, yeah. Well, we had a gale warning the past couple of days here, but there's still some boats that made it out. Up in the Santa Monica Bay area, despite the small craft advisory, a couple twilight trips got out. They did pretty good on sculpin and a little bit of sand bass, but it was hard fishing. Palo Verdes area, not many boats made it out, obviously. The few that did actually had some pretty good halibut fishing yesterday. Catalina area, the halibut bite continues with a few sea bass as well on the backside. Best action is between Silver Canyon and Church Rock. On the front side, the hottest bite's been the west end of Arrow Point. These are still shallow water fish. The key is to get near the sandy bottom, find the bait ball, and find structure, and you should find fish. Down south, Dana Point is been snotty, not a lot of boats out. Same deal, sculpin fishing still pretty good. San Diego, La Jolla area, we haven't had a ton of reports. There is still some good halibut fishing and bonita fishing in San Diego Bay near Pepper Park. There have been quite a few shorts, but a few guys have brought in 20-pound plus fish. Down in Mexico, the lower nine continues to kick out some rockfish in deep water, 450 to 700 feet. There is actually some lingcod being caught as well. The slow pitch guys are doing really well on those. Down at the islands, I think San Diego last week ran and caught a few fish looking around, and same with some private boats. It's pretty slow, but it should be picking up here soon, hopefully. And then down south of that, Punta Banda, still hearing reports of 12 to 25 pound yellowtail, super spotty, but they are around. And that is it, guys.
Hey, you know what? With the weather that we've had this past week, Joseph, I'd say that's a pretty damn good report, man. You pulled a good one together with plenty of highlights and plenty of biting fish, man. We'll take that with a little bit of challenge that we had to get out and go fishing.
Heck yeah.
It's the sign of spring.
You know what? The good news is better weather's ahead.
Yeah. And it's just the sign of spring. You know, good, you know, that type of weather at another, you know, 2 months ago, there's no shot at anything, but it was still, there's still some good fishing to be had. And it is amazing how quickly things do seem to rebound this time of year.
Well, seeing how we were dealing with summer like 2 months ago.
Yeah.
No rain, no 90 degrees. This, I mean, kind of needed.
Yeah, for sure. Well, of course, fishdope.com, $30 off a new membership to fishdope.com using the code HOOKUPNOW, lowercase, no space, HOOKUPNOW is your $30 code on fishdope.com where you get 724, 365 days a year. You get reports and weather conditions and temperature charts and the whole thing. And, Joseph, what's going on in the real estate market?
It is starting to go, man.
Yeah.
All of my listings are in escrow. I've got three new ones this past week. Got open house going today over in Shadow Mountain on a giant home. It's beautiful. But it's moving. You know, interest rates have been kind of up and down, but mainly they seem like they're dropping a little bit.
That's
so
awesome.
I think consumers are, you know, getting on it and trying to get out there before we have the San Diego rush for homes where you're fighting people and 25 offers and everything else. I have to give up a kidney.
Yeah. Well, time to get in on a house and, you know, forget about that rent and go buy something. Joseph will find you the right property. And how do we find you, Joseph?
You can get me on my cell phone, 619-277-2169. You can get me on social media at Cal Realty. On my website at sportsmansrealty.com, or you can get a free home evaluation through SoCalHomeEval.com.
Awesome job. As always, Joseph, always keeping us in touch. Always the best when it comes to the real estate game. Appreciate it very much, and we'll talk to you next week.
Appreciate it, guys. Take care.
Thanks, bro. Appreciate that. Again, that's sponsored by Terrafin Sea Surface Temperature Charts. Focus your fishing on the most productive areas by using Terrafin Sea Surface Temperature, Chlorophyll, Currents, and more. With Terrafin Mobile, you can also access your charts on your phone or any mobile device. Check Terrafin.com for more information.
All right. Ted in San Diego writes, morning, gents. Rock fishing question. Can one fish slow pitch jigging with 100 and 200 gram jibs on a Colonette trip? Love to fish that 100 foot pinnacle in Alaska for Lincut and want to know if I can try it out right here on the Tribute.
Oh, yeah. Especially in nice weather. I mean, yeah. We've had the high spot at Colonette's about just over 120 feet. So it's right in there. I mean,
wow.
Well, you do see, I mean, some of the yellowtail fishing there and stuff is usually a little bit deeper. That drop off just above it, you see a lot more of it in like 30 fathoms. But, yeah, I mean, there's whitefish. There's a lot of stuff on the edge, but some of the neatest fishing down there, like, and I haven't fished San Jose in years, but I remember catching lingcod on the surface iron. You know, you let your jig sink just a little too far, but that slow pitch setup for reds and lingcod is perfect. It just enhances it. It makes it that much better.
Gotta love that.
In relatively shallow water, so say like less, you know, 250 feet or less on your slow pitch jig, you're going to be want to fish like approximately a gram per foot of depth. So like if you're wanting to fish 100 feet, you should be fishing around a 100 gram lure, 200 feet around. Now, again, there's lots of variables that can change
wind,
moving the boat, exactly. Heavier line, all those things. But on a true, you know, if he's talking about if you went and invested in that whole slow pitch setup, which means a little bit smaller reel, the real skinny Spectra that's affected by drift less, that's the approximate size you'd be after, about a gram per foot of depth. Once you start getting real deep, I mean, you don't need a 500 gram jig or, you know, like you can start fishing, you know, the 60 you can do on a 300 gram jig, even if you're fishing much deeper, but in that, call it 250 feet or less on a slow pitch jig, that's kind of somewhat the area you're looking to be.
cool.
Yeah, when we come back, we got more Let's Talk Hookup coming your way. More of your great text messages. You stay tuned. You're listening to Let's Talk Hookup on Facebook and YouTube Live, the Let's Talk Hookup app, and 97.3 The Fan. My bad, Jeff.
Hey, everybody. This is Captain Dwayne Diego, four-pack charter captain, here to talk to you about Parker Boats and the good folks at West Coast Marine. When it came time to start Pinnacle Sport Fishing and get my own boat, there was only one choice. I wanted a Parker. Then there's a real good reason for it. The fishability and seaworthiness. I've been fishing on Parkers for years now, and I know the abuse they can take. Park Marine builds a heavy-duty, industrial-strength boat, probably overbuilt, but that's what I need when we're out 12 hours a day, over 300 days a year, running charters. The guys at West Coast Marine built me one heck of a fishing boat. From the custom tower with steering and throttle controls to the backup bait pump system, my Parker 2520 XLD will deliver me to the fishing grounds reliably and safe. Take it from me. If you're ready for a new Parker at a fair, upfront, honest deal, you need to see West Coast Marine, located at 1555 Newport Boulevard in Costa Mesa, or check them out and their inventory and information online at westcoastmarine.com.
Day at the Docks is back, and Fisherman's Landing Tackle will have our largest booth ever. Hi, this is Doug Kern. Both in the shop and out in the parking lot, we will feature a huge inventory of rods, reels, lures, clothing, and more, all on sale. The fishing season is here, so take advantage of our inventory and sale prices while you can. Day at the Docks and Fisherman's Landing Tackle. Take advantage of our great deals Sunday, April 13th.
Inside information is everything when it comes to catching fish in Southern California. You need a code group to connect with what's happening on the water. FishDope.com is your code group. Inside information available at your fingertips 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. FishDope.com really does help you catch more fish and burn less fuel. FishDope.com is the only fish finding service with a spotter plane, along with a crew of top anglers on the water almost every day that report actual locations and catches. They become your code group. You get daily catch reports from Point Conception to San Quintin, 365 days a year. FishDope.com has online planning tools, temperature and chlorophyll charts, hot bite icons, and more. Take it from me, if you don't have FishDope.com, you're not part of the in-the-know crowd. Membership is affordable and good for an entire year. Plus, use the special code and save $30 on a new FishDope.com membership. Check it out today. FishDope.com. Catch more fish, burn less fuel.
This is Captain Tim Ekstrom from the long-range vessel Royal Star. With my partners Randy Toussaint and Brian Sims, we have set the bar for the long-range fishing experience. Spring 8-day, summer 5-day, or fly-down, fly-back 11-day winter trip, we deliver the highest quality long-range voyage you will find. From our premium RSW fish storage to our top-of-the-line chefs and crew, Royal Star distinguishes itself from all others. Want to grab a spot on the Royal Star? Check us out at RoyalStarSportFishing.com or call Tracy at 619-224-4764.
Whether you're fly fishing, bottom fishing, net fishing, or just sitting on the water thinking about fishing, remember, a good day in the water starts with everyone wearing a life jacket. Save the ones you love. A message from California State Parks Division of Boating and Waterways.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup. I'm having a great time here with Captain Mike from the Tribute, talking fishing, talking about this great boat at a Seaforth. What a great show today.
Yeah. And so, the schedule right now for the Tribute out of Seaforth, when's your next trip?
Friday night.
Okay. Yeah. Weather's supposed to come down next weekend?
We're starting, it's looking pretty good, right? We're starting our offshore trips. Is that a day and a half? It is. I want to give a quick shout out. Buddy Jake and Nicole Morton had their baby last night that was a little overly eager to get into, to come into our world. He goes, give me a little bit on the early side. I said, let him watch the news. let him watch the news. Give him a couple hours on the news, and he'll get right back in there. But, yeah, Jack.
Congratulations.
Baby Jackson was born last night at 9 o'clock.
Congratulations. Yeah.
Yep. And I thought it was awesome. Fun. That was the same couple that you gave the shout out last time you were on the show. They were
two years ago. And, yep, here they are with
they're getting married.
I don't know. I mean, if they're going to plan babies around the show,
I like it.
Might have to give them a middle name of let's talk hookup.
That works.
Congratulations, you guys. That's awesome.
But we are doing weekend trips. We have trips booked every weekend throughout the month.
And there are going to be bluefin trips?
Offshore. It could be anything. And on some of these trips, that's the target. And like I said, a lot of our offshore trips last year where we were fishing nighttime bluefin at 50 miles, and then we had really good bluefin fishing on some of them, and some of them it was more of just a nighttime thing, so we'd just spend a couple hours on the 60-mile bank in the morning, would give the guys an option to catch a bunch of reds, and you know, it's funny on some of these offshore trips, you get some of the guys that are standing there, their arms are crossed, they're leaning up against the rail, I didn't come out here to catch, you know, a red, and I said, well, you've got to limit a bluefin, and they're biting, and you don't have to. And after they start seeing some of the reds coming out, they're like, oh, those look pretty good.
Pretty fun, yeah.
Well, then when you take into consideration how good they are, and
it's fun to catch on light tackle.
It is fun, and they're great quality fish. But, I mean, you can eat so much bluefin, but isn't it nice when you got this freezer full of bluefin, and you go, you know what, tonight we're having fish tacos. So it's a really good bonus.
Pan-seared, sautéed red with like a lemon caper wine sauce.
All right, now I'm hungry.
Oh, so good.
I love bluefin. I love what they've done for. I mean, our last year would have been a complete flop without our bluefin fishing. But it's so nice to eat something else every now and then.
Totally.
I actually went pig hunting with Pat Cavanaugh last weekend up in King City, and
nice.
He was talking about his the albacore, and we caught albacore for so long down here, and everybody was so over it. And then I got some of the blast frozen albacore that he had, and I go, well, I don't want to eat frozen albacore. I thought it out. It was epic.
It was so good,
but it's just how much different we take care of our fish differently. They take care of their fish differently. So it'd be really neat to see albacore again going into an RSW instead of sitting in a gunny sack.
Yeah.
Right?
Or frozen solid in a
better?
Giant block on a long range boat.
Oh,
so
yeah.
That does eat good.
It'll be neat to see that. And just the same thing with the rockfish. I mean, you know, if it's a full day, we get our rockfish, they go in the fish hole, they come out, and it's same deal as everything else. They almost look better coming out than they did going in.
So the trip Friday night that leaves, what time does it leave?
Let's make sure we're still.
Yeah.
We did
check
change.
Check at SeaforthLanding.com.
This is SeaforthLanding.com.
Yeah.
Which is a great website, too. It's super easy to find.
Yeah,
all the trips
book everything
listed.
Online.
Book the tribute directly from the website.
Yeah, really good. But
and the San Diego started running too. So I mean, that's if you guys are looking at getting out for a full day or three quarter day, it is not the worst thing ever.
Yeah.
So our trips are going to be 6 o'clock starting Friday night.
6 p.m.
Which in a lot of cases, like what we had last year, we had fish at like 40 miles, 30 miles. So we're leaving on these trips and we're getting in on it like right at dark, and we had some really good fishing just after sundown. So in a lot of these cases, like when I was calling in last year, you're getting like 30 hours of fishing on some of these trips, which is absolutely obscene.
That's
which
crazy.
Should never have to happen to any person ever, crew member ever. But so, some of these trips, man, we get out and you know we're leaving the bait receiver, we're getting you guys rigged up and ready to go, and then I tell them, I say, you guys, if you have any chance of sleeping on this trip, it's right now. You have 3 or 4 hours on the way out, and nobody wants to sleep on the way out.
Yeah.
They want to, you know, our pizza port sponsored trips. They're eating pizza, drinking beer, they're having a great time. And then it's like, hey, man, it's time to start fishing. And if you want a really good shot, you're up all night. And then there's a really good chance you're up all day the next day. And then we go in the next night. Like, it is a long day and a half trip. I mean, you get a lot out of it.
Yeah. So with this trip on Friday night, is it possible that you could do the Colonnette option? Or is it most likely just an offshore trip where you might catch some...
We're going to be looking offshore.
Yeah.
Which doesn't, you know, eliminate the possibility of the 60. Or
right.
If for some reason there's fish down outside of Colonnette, I mean, it's not unheard of where we dip in real quick. And the way that fishing's been down there, it doesn't take much.
You don't need a ton of time to
there's,
make a little bit of a catch.
There's the trip last week. I mean, a lot of these trips, you have 100 ling cod on the boat by noon or whatever it is. It's really good. So, I mean, if you're down there, but these are, as of right now, it's going to be like it was last year. These are offshore trips. We know there's bluefin around. It's been seen. There's been one caught this year, which is just because of the lack of boats out. But like I said, you start seeing boats like the Supreme and some of the long-range boats and some of these other guys that are going to start running. Max on the Pacific Voyager is starting to I think his charter schedule is going to start getting him off the dock and offshore a little bit more. So I would imagine.
What a smart kid that is.
Oh,
he's going to do great.
Great,
with that
great fisherman, and it's so nice to see eager kids. Like,
yeah.
I think I started running boats when I was 22. Yeah, I think he's 21.
Yeah.
And it's just so nice to see somebody that's eager and wants to get in and wants to do this.
Fishy guy.
It's so hard to find captains or employees that actually want to show up at work or do anything anymore. And he's chomping at the bit, and I wish him the best of luck.
So, you ever, on those culinary trips, you ever catch black sea bass?
I don't think I've ever seen a black sea bass there.
I wonder, yeah.
It's
you would think they'd be there.
Right, but around, I mean, the high spot, I'm sure there is. But I've also never seen sea bass caught at Cortez, and I know it happens. I mean, yeah. It's just one of those things. You got to be down there at the right time. So
right.
I've seen a lot of blacks caught at the Cortez, just not, you know. Yeah. I've heard of some.
But
really,
you can't keep them at the Cortez. If you caught them down below, you could keep them. Yeah. But technically.
One of my crew members posted a picture not too long ago, and it was of him and like a 70-pound black sea bass on my boat. And I go, we really try not to keep them.
Yeah.
We really.
Especially those bigger ones.
I had a trip that I ran years ago on the Intrepid, and we knocked the crud out of the grouper down at down on the ridge. I think we brought back like 38 grouper, and we were trying to release the blacks. One guy wanted to keep one, but I told the guys, I said, look, we'll give you a $200 credit off on your next trip if you release your big blacks. And one guy wanted to keep one, but we came back in, and there's grouper and the one black all over the dock. And Bill Roker goes, I'm not taking pictures of that. It's just, you can't keep them. They're delicious, but it's just become, it's like Calcod. Calcod are legal in Mexico. They're not legal in California.
You can't keep them, though.
We don't even acknowledge them.
Yeah. But you can bring a black sea bass back from Mexico.
No, we've had some controversy with Fish and Game in the past where the limit on sea bass up here is one. Down there, it's five. They said, well, you can't possess more than one here, and that's not how that works.
Yeah,
so.
It doesn't work that way. Yeah, same thing with reds, right?
It's a weird loophole.
You keep five reds down there, yeah?
Yep.
Yeah, it's kind of a loophole.
Just
throwing out there as a possibility.
But
keeping the bigger ones, though, it's not, you know, they're not good to eat.
What we usually try to do is
get the
angler and the fish in the same picture. If it's a big one, you can't obviously bring the 300-pounder up and put it on the boat safely.
Right.
So we try to open the gate or whatever and let the guy, you know, kind of lean over and get a picture with it.
Gotcha.
And spend half an hour reviving the thing and getting them to go back down and, you know, let them live on.
All right. You have a good one, Homer.
Yeah, kind of talks about everything we just talked about in that last little clip there. It says, well, what a great show. I went on the Tribute last year and experienced a truly top-class trip. The crew was one of the best I've seen. I fished a lot of long range, and I would put those guys up against anybody. They were extremely attentive, and we had a great time. My question's for Mike. Can you give us a little bit of your background in the industry and also your crew and how you found such great guys? I'm also very curious to hear about what improvements and upgrades I can look forward to this year as we're fishing again on the Tribute.
I started up in Ventura when I was 10. A lot of really good guys came from Ventura County. Like I've mentioned in the past, you have guys like Sean Stewart, Bill, Pat Cavanaugh. Like a lot of guys, for whatever reason, around that time period, were just brought up differently, I guess. And all the years down here, I spent years on the Excel. It was the first boat that I ran the Intrepid for a couple of years. But carrying that on to, you know, a two-and-a-half-day boat is the way it is. And when I'm on the boat, I spend all my time on deck. You don't want a guy sitting in the wheelhouse. You don't want a guy that, you know, doesn't want to get down. And I think that all carries on to your crew. And, you know, my crew's polite. We treat everybody how you'd want to be treated. You get some guys that come off other boats and all they can talk about is, you know, how rude the crew was. And it's not, that doesn't fly.
Well,
it's not happening.
I've seen too, you know, I've seen it because I've seen you talk about it. And, you know, you guys handle things differently with your crew, you know. A guy works on your boat has medical and benefits and retirement and like that type of thing attracts a higher end crew and you get your, you know, you get your pick of good guys. Like you offer more, you get more.
Yeah. 401k, the medical insurance has been hard. That one's hard to manage just because of, you know, a small employee roster, but
yeah.
I mean, as much as my insurance has gone up, I want somebody to provide it for me, too. Yeah. But we do offer a 401k. We do run all the time. And that's one of the things, you know, the years that I worked on the producer, like you did a little bit of whale watching during the winter. And then, you know, this is back in the mid to late 90s. But you suffered, absolutely struggled throughout the winter. You had no money. You tried to hop on a long range boat or two. And, you know, this is last last February, I had guys already asking for days off. And I said, you know, that's awesome. The fact that, you know, we ran, I don't know, 20 days or something last February, and we've been running whatever weekends we can now. And we do, we're still looking for another crew member, and another licensed captain. But it's funny, these weekend trips, I got five or six guys calling me like, hey, man, can I work Friday night? And I said, I got to leave it up to my guys, but we're the only boat running, and the flay money and everything else has been really good. So it's a good opportunity. And like I said, we're looking for a couple more guys.
A licensed captain. So how do they get a hold of you if they want to apply?
Facebook would be the easiest thing. I mean, my number is pretty easy to come by.
What is your number?
619-246-3114. It's on business cards, but leave a message on Facebook. Trying to
call C4th and get leave a message there.
Yeah, call Marcos right now.
Marcos,
yeah. But
Marcos' cell phone number. Yeah.
But yeah, I just through Facebook. But trying to find another licensed captain. Tanner Finn's been with me for last few years. He's in the process of getting his license. But it's funny because everybody wants to complain about money, but nobody wants to work.
Yes.
Imagine that. So it sounds like it's
sad but true.
Unfortunately, the new way.
Yeah. Hey, Doug and Ramona has a lengthy text, but I'm going to read it anyway because some good information. I learned my lesson about hooks on top and bottom last year. Fishing 150-pound class tackle at night, I hooked a fish that had four deck hands with gifts and gaffs and ready to go right up when they saw the fish. One gaff was enough. Had it hooked in the corner of the mouth on the bottom of the hook. On the top, there were 15 inches down on the side. I've caught a lot of fish over 200 pounds, and I have swam 150 to 180 pounders. And nope, it was 70 to 80 pounds, but came up sideways, so it like felt a lot bigger. And that's what happens a lot of times when you put too many hooks on there.
Oh, yeah. Or you get the weird oddball where the fish goes to eat the jig, and it comes out its gill and hooks it in the side. Yeah. And that 70-pounder becomes a 300-pounder real quick.
And then fish hits the deck. One of the hooks falls out, gets a deckhand in the leg or you in the leg or something like that.
They're scary.
It's not
bad. I mean, it's, you know, you're talking
don't
about
do it.
Yeah, you're talking about a, you know, a pound and a half jig with five hooks on it flying around.
Yeah,
not
sure.
Safe. All right. Hey, I had another great text from Dave. Excuse me, Dave calling from Houston, Texas. Mike, you expect to run the pizza port charters again this summer. I thought that was such a cool touch. It really brought a fun atmosphere of getting to know guys that you didn't know, being able to enjoy a pizza and a beer before we left.
All of our Friday night trips right now, once we get rolling, we'll probably change it over to last year we did our Sunday night departure trips. But, yes, we do have a really good connection with pizza port, and it's a good chance to get down on the boat. Not only half off beer, and, you know, you get – a pretty good chance of getting a 16-ounce IPA for $4.
Jeez.
Don't drink too many
and
of them.
And free pizza?
Yep.
Wow.
And, but it's so nice because you get down and you don't have to stop at McDonald's or something. If you're getting off work, you run down, jump on the boat.
And that's every Friday night?
Well, right now it is.
Right now.
All of our Colinette trips have been Pizza Port-sponsored trips. And then once we...
how do you work that deal?
They really like fishing with me.
Oh, that's cool. That's
but isn't that a cool thing?
That's kind of how it started was, Ryan Freer, one of really good buddy with one of the guys from Pizza Port, just really liked fishing with us. And, you know, Pizza Port was an up-and-coming San Diego company, and they wanted to, you know, one of the premier San Diego boats. So it just kind of, you know,
that's great.
We give you a chance to try their pizza, and their pizza's phenomenal. And then their beer, they're coming out with so much stuff on a regular basis. Like, what a better platform to put it out on
totally.
Than, you know, and it's a rumor. I don't know if it's true or not, but fishermen like to drink.
No kidding.
It's crazy.
But like, but just to, like what Dave was saying, it just created a very fun atmosphere on the boat. Like, you know, a lot of times it's just putting your gear together and everybody's, you know, it just creates that thing. Everybody's enjoying a slice and have a cold
We've
one.
We've always
and just
tried to offer something, whether it's chips and salsa. COVID definitely put a whack against that. But for our, you know, we had guys get on the boat and they're like, "Well, you got chips and salsa. I'm already sold." And I'm like, "Have at it." Yeah, a jar of peanuts goes a long way. You know, I have to, you know, nickel and dime everything.
Sure. Well, it's a class act, and you kind of grew up in that long range attitude where you. they take care of the passengers, and that's what you do on the Tribute.
You know what? I remember as a kid, and this is going, I was like 10 years old. I was going out on a boat on the weekends, and I didn't have any money, and I was trying to, you know, Pinhead clean the boat, and I was trying to get toast just to have something to eat. And the galley cook goes, I can't just give it to you. And I'm thinking back, and this is a long time ago, 38 years ago. What a piece of bread probably cost back then. Like,
yeah.
I remember my mom having to come down and pay for my toast afterwards. I think it was a buck.
Yeah. Hey, John and Carson writes, good morning, guys. Great show. Always go. I'm going on a 2-day trip in early May. If you could look in your crystal ball, what do you think a trip like that might consist of this year?
Well, it depends on who you're fishing with, too, and what kind of trip it is.
Yeah.
If it's an offshore trip, I mean, as of right now, I really, like I said, any given day, we're going to get a stretch of weather. You're going to start seeing boats off the dock, and you're going to start seeing bluefin.
Yeah, he said 2-day trip, though. So.
May, hopefully we start seeing some yellowtail, which is very common this time of year, April, May.
Do you remember what happened last May?
We caught a bunch of bluefin.
Yeah, a bunch of bluefin.
Yeah,
it was good fishing.
Well, yeah, we had a bunch of bluefin, and we were fishing the 60 on a regular basis. You know what is funny? Because I look back, and November, I think it was November last year, or the year before, like, looking back on it, we had limits of bluefin almost every single day.
Wow.
And same thing with this time of year, looking back at our spring trips, a lot of them you see April, May, lighter loads, just, you know, you're trying to get things going off the dock. Everybody and their kids are in baseball, it seems like. And you start seeing a lot of these trips getting off the dock with 18 or 20 guys, and you look at the fish count. And I mean, it's pretty entertaining to go back and look at this time last year and the year before. It was really good. So
last year we also had that phenomenal fishing at the Coronado Islands.
That was fun.
Which was the nice grade yellow and stuff. So when the fish, I know a lot of boats, when the weather was up offshore, they kind of sneak in and catch them.
It was tough for us because a lot of our, it's hard to change over all of a sudden you need passports.
Oh, I see.
A lot of our charter groups, I'd call them, I'm like, hey man, look, this is what's going on. You guys need to bring your passports. And it amazes me how many adults don't have a passport.
Yes, it is.
I mean, there's some people, I get it, you can't. But if you fish, you should have a passport.
Yes.
Because you never know when it's going to be like, you have a chance to completely change your trip, completely save it if you guys have passports. And you have like 5 or 6 guys that don't have one, and it throws it out the window. But, I mean, what a nice break when you can go in there and get in on that big yellowtail. There was bluefin caught at the Coronados. That was some really good fishing.
50-pound bluefin last year.
That was good stuff.
Hope we get that again.
Yeah. Another fun text is, man, what a great boat and an even better crew. Mike, are you going to have Starlink or any type of satellite connections this year? And my question is, are they used for the captain and boat communications, or are they available to the passengers as well? That's from Manny in San Diego.
We've had it for 2 years now.
Wow.
No, 3 years. It's been a while, and most of it is limited to us doing our reports, sending in pictures. A lot of them can't handle 30 people online at the same time. And the packages, and it's funny because we found a loophole. Internet on the boat used to be outrageous. Like I think when the XL put theirs on, it was like a $100,000 setup.
Yeah.
And once somebody figured out that you could take the RV version of Starlink and put it on a boat, and instead of paying, you know, $5,000 and $2,000 a month, it was $250 a month and $500. Well, I think Musk caught on to that. The fact that there is a bunch of RVs driving around the Cortez Bank and offshore. So the packages go from $250 a month to obscene, $5,000 a month.
Oh,
so there's not a whole lot of in between. It goes from $250 a month to $1,000 a month to $5,000 a month. So offering it up on we'll see what happens. But as of right now, it's limited to crew to check. And I mean, if somebody has an emergency or something, we let them use it.
I think that's kind of what he's saying too. Like
if there's an emergency,
the need for it, and you are in constant communication with whoever you need to be, because the boat certainly has it.
We had a guy last year that was buying a house that needed it, and all of a sudden he was on Instagram later. So.
Yeah,
funny. Hey, when we come back, we're gonna find out who's going fishing on board the Tribute, giving away a day and a half trip. More Let's Talk Hookup coming your way on the Let's Talk Hookup app, Facebook and YouTube Live, and 97.3 The Fan.
Power your boat with Norse Lithium. the ultimate choice for marine adventures. Our batteries deliver unmatched starting, trolling, and electronics power, packed with cutting-edge technology like Deep Sleep to eliminate phantom draw. Built with rugged PCI-compliant cases, they're designed to handle the toughest conditions on the water. Stay in control with the Norsk Guardian app. Monitor performance, track battery health, and unlock advanced features right from your phone. Charge with confidence using EvoTech Onboard and DC-to-DC chargers for fast, efficient, and hassle-free power management. Designed for maximum compatibility, these chargers keep your entire system running at peak performance, so you're always ready for the next trip. With a 10-plus-2-year non-prorated warranty, you can trust your batteries to perform for years to come. Our industry-leading warranty ensures you get the most out of your investment. With dedicated customer support if you ever need it, upgrade your marine power today. Set up your custom system at NorskLithium.com or visit Trolling Motor Doctor in Lakewood. Norsk Lithium. No matter where the adventure takes you, we've got you powered.
Take a closer look at the Ford Bronco and the Bronco Sport. You'll see adventure, discovery, and even a little mud. These 4x4s provide the muscle, tech, and durability to go anywhere. Get your ideal combination of power and capability to handle whatever comes your way, whether it's taking something down to the launch ramp or going out in the desert. It's time to see Ford in a new light. Visit your San Diego County Ford dealers to check out the new Ford Bronco or Bronco Sport today. They'll be glad to hook you up. This year, make reliable boating your resolution and back it with exhilarating deals with a new Yamaha outboard during Yamaha's New Year, New Reliability sales event. From now until March 31st, 2025, purchase a new eligible Yamaha 450 to 30 horsepower outboard and get up to 7 years of coverage protection. Looking to hit the water with lower horsepower? There's a deal for you too. Purchase a new Yamaha 25 to 2.5 horsepower outboard and receive up to $200 in dealer credit toward the purchase of additional goods and services. Don't miss this limited time offer. Visit your local Yamaha dealer today. Yamaha, reliability starts here. Offer ends March 31st, 2025. Subject to change. Other restrictions and conditions apply. Select models exclude 24-month Yamaha extended service added to a 36 or 60-month factory limited warranty. Choice offered to Florida residents is a 24-month Yamaha limited warranty. See authorized participating Yamaha outboard dealer for details. Cannot be used with any other Yamaha offer.
Hello, this is Captain Mike Totter from Searcher Sport Fishing. Alongside my colleague, Chef Josh Evans, and our dedicated team, we invite you to join us aboard the Searcher. Our fishing trips range from a day and a half to 8 days, available May through November, and include charter options. We're committed to upholding a legacy of top-notch customer service, delicious food, and a friendly and talented crew. Book your fishing adventure online at searchersportfishing.com or call Rachel at 619-226-2403. That's searchersportfishing.com. We look forward to welcoming you aboard.
Many years ago, Baja pioneer Bob Van Wormer found the area he called the Great Fish Trap in the East Cape of Southern Baja and built what is now regarded as the premier East Cape resorts of Palmas de Cortez and Playa del Sol. Today, following in their father's footsteps, Bob's sons, Bobby, Chucky, and Eddie, have taken Palmas de Cortez and Playa del Sol to new levels, with the largest sport fishing fleet in Mexico, a luxurious spa, and top-of-the-line resort amenities. Van Wormer resorts have become a destination for travelers worldwide. But for us, Palmas de Cortez and Playa del Sol are just a short 2-hour flight away. No other tropical fishing destination offers the experience and value that you'll find at Palmas de Cortez and Playa del Sol. Now you can plan your Baja fishing vacation quick and easy by visiting VanWormerResorts.com. And when you're ready to book, it's quick and easy. Or simply call 877-777-TUNA for more information. Van Wormer Resorts, the East Cape's finest.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Cookup. Well, this is normally the time where we flip the coin, but we don't need to do that. That was a lot of fun having a full tech show today. I mean,
but apologize to our people to call, because call is so important to Let's Talk Cookup.
It's a huge part of the show.
They're going to have it resolved next week, but it's the phone company's issues is what Jeff told me from the fan. It's not the fan's phone system. It's the phone company messed it up.
Sounds
typical,
like
right?
Good person to blame.
Yeah, why not? Yeah.
Well, we did do the random draw, thanks to Mike, and the big winner going fishing on board the Tribute on a day and a half trip. Congratulations, Carlos and Lancaster. You are going fishing on the Tribute on a day and a half trip.
Yeah.
You are so stoked.
Congratulations.
Make sure when you call the landing or let them know that you won, because we do get some of the winners every now and then, and the landing's like, who is this person?
Yeah. So, well, I'll make sure Marcos has it.
When you call, just let them know that you want it on, and they'll ask me, and I'll okay it. But,
I'll make sure that Marcos knows what's going on there.
I get sure. the random. Well, usually, like I said, Ingrid Poole will yeah. donate a couple of trips I don't know about.
Yeah. So if somebody wants to ride the tribute?
619-224-3383. Seaforthlanding.com, TributeSportFishing.com. Social media is Tribute Sport Fishing on Facebook and Instagram. And, we're looking forward to the next couple
gonna
weeks.
Going to be great.
We're going to
yeah.
start seeing some bluefin.
Hey, thanks to Jeff in the fan studio. Thanks to Adam for on the app. Next Saturday, Captain Mike Cotter from The Searcher. Next Sunday, Captain Cameron Cribben from the Mission Bell. Thanks for listening today. We'll see you next week right back here on 97.3 Strand, YouTube, Facebook Live, and the Let's Talk Hookup app.